This song is the Wonderful Grace of Jesus in the songbook is an old one and familiar to many of you, but to many more of you, it's a brand new song. And it's really interesting, a perspective on things. Our son Adam was at camp a couple weeks ago and came home saying, yeah, we learned this new song. It's called Sing and Be Happy. And I know he'd sung that before, he just forgot it. But we thought, new song? You got to be kidding me. That's an oldie. And that's the way it is with a lot of the songs that we sing. Some of the new ones to us are really old ones, but you may need a book for that. As we continue this morning, the theme of grace, we'll sing some songs about grace. And as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper together, as we do each week, we will invite the Holy Spirit in a special way as we're together in a group to minister to us and to draw us closer to Himself, that we might commune with one another and with God. But we declare this morning that the kingdom of God, His rule, is alive and well in our hearts. And we invite Him to be even more of a ruler over us as we sing.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. Among you, among you. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame men are walking. Sicknesses flee at His voice. The dead live again and the poor hear the good news. Jesus is King, so rejoice. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. Among you, among you. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame men are walking. Sicknesses flee at His voice. The dead live again and the poor hear the good news. Jesus is King, so rejoice. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, shame it, greater far than all my sin and shame, all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. The wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, flowing like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it. Greater far than all my sin and shame, all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name.
I will magnify
magnify your name, O Lord, and I will exalt you.
You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
and you reign in majesty. You reign in majesty,
omnipotent
Father,
Holy Father,
Creator of all things.
Love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day
of rejoicing that will be.
When we all
see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day
of rejoicing that will be.
When we all
see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the high.
Silent
moon, rejoice before him. Praise him,
all ye stars of light.
Hallelujah,
amen, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, for he is glorious. Never shall his promise fail.
God hath made his saints victorious.
Sin shall not prevail. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the God of our salvation. Hosts on high his power proclaim.
Heaven and earth and all creation.
Laud and magnify his name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I will magnify
your name, O Lord.
You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
and you reign in majesty.
You reign in majesty,
omnipotent
Father,
Creator of all things.
I will magnify
your name.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
You are Lord of Lords, and you reign in majesty.
You reign in majesty,
omnipotent
Father,
Holy Father.
Creator of all things, Creator of all things.
Pray with me. Holy Father, we do acknowledge you as Creator, Giver and Sustainer of life, worthy of all praise and honor that we could possibly give you. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart be acceptable, Lord. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming and living with us and living through us, living in us. And Father, I pray this morning as we gather as a body of your people, one of many, many all around the world, that we would strive more and more to be united with believers, that we would do our part to fulfill the prayer of Jesus Christ, that we all be one just as you and he are one. So we seek that this morning, Father, with one another, that in spite of our faults, in spite of our differences, in spite of our troubles and our concerns, we come together and declare that your kingdom is at work in our hearts, that we submit ourselves to your rule and your authority, that we appreciate and we recognize the grace you have given to us. And we invite your Holy Spirit to fill us more and more now as we sing together and as we partake together of this Lord's Supper. We invite your presence with us in Jesus' name.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Give me patience and kindness and goodness.
gentleness and self-control. Lord, I want to receive your Spirit. Fill my heart with the fullness of your love. I believe you are faithful. I claim what you've promised. Baptize me with fire. Cleanse me anew. Lord, I want to receive you. No longer I'll grieve you. Lord, I want to receive your Spirit. Spirit, fill me with love and fill me with joy and peace that cannot be explained. Please give me patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Lord, I want to receive your Spirit. Fill my heart with the fullness of your love. I believe you are faithful. I claim what you promised. Baptize me with fire. Cleanse me anew. Lord, I want to receive you. No longer I'll grieve you. Lord, I want to receive your Spirit.
And now, Father, as we receive this bread, may it be a reminder to us of what you've given to us in your Spirit. Bless this bread as we eat it, that it may nourish our souls and remind us of Jesus. In his name, amen.
Release us from the past. We receive your love. We receive your healing grace. Oh Lord, we receive your love. We receive your healing grace.
Likewise, the cup, Father. Blessed as we partake of it. We are thankful for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for giving the blood, for giving your Son, for giving our sins. Help us, Father, to also be forgiving, to give our very blood, to give our very lives for you. Accept this offering that we give to you now as a part of our lives, and bless what we do to earn it. In Jesus' name.
Can we enter? Only by grace can we stand, not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us, you call us to come. Into your presence you draw. And now by your grace we come. Oh, now by your grace we come. Oh, but Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Lord, who would stand? Thanks to your grace we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Lord, who would stand? Thanks to your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb.
Bibles be open, please, to Matthew 23. As we continue this morning in our series of Amazing Grace, this morning we look at one of the greatest enemies to grace that there is. It's the enemy of legalism. We'll be looking at Jesus' view of that from Matthew 23. He was 39 years old and a lawyer when he stood up to address the Virginia Convention. The date was March 23rd, 1775. His patriotic passion could be silent no longer. Blood had already been shed. He stood up with fire in his eyes and with passion in his voice, and he said this: "If we wish to be free, we must fight. I repeat, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. Our brethren are already in the field. The war has already begun. Why stand we here idle? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty. Or what? Give me death." And so Patrick Henry endeared himself not only to the people of his day, but the people of ours. For he speaks from the heart of every American that we will die rather than be in chains. Less than 90 years later, our country was embroiled in civil war, in the greatest bloodbath that our country has ever known. And the issue was liberty. Slavery versus freedom. And maybe Charles Sumner said it best when in November of 1864 he wrote these words. He said, "Where slavery is, there liberty cannot be. And where liberty is, there slavery cannot be." We just went through our celebration of independence on July the 4th. I'm dressed appropriately today. I hope that you were reminded July the 4th that that day is about more than parades and homemade ice cream and fireworks. I hope you were reminded that on that day we celebrate the greatest gift we know as a country, and that's freedom. And I hope every time you're at a parade and the flag passes by and the national anthem is sung, you have a hard time getting that knot out of your throat, because you remember the people who paid the price to give us what we enjoy. Amen. And God forbid that we would ever, ever take our freedom for granted. It's the greatest gift we have as a country. What is ironic to me is that those of us who live in the freest country on the planet, who are willing to fight other nations and even each other over liberty, would be so quick to give up our liberty when it comes to living by grace in Jesus Christ. It is beyond my understanding how those of us who know freedom and live in liberty could so quickly give up the freedom that God has provided us in Jesus Christ. For the first time a legalist comes along with his judgmentalism and his intimidating look, and the first time he comes along with a list, for fear that we're going to upset the peace at hand, we give in and give over and succumb to his list. And before you know it, we are giving in and giving over to his agenda. And in the process, we become slaves of lists. The entire letter to the Galatians is about that very issue. Paul had come in and preached the gospel of Christ, and the Galatians had responded by grace through faith. Some Jews had come in behind Paul and had begun to say, "Christ is not enough. He's not enough. If you want to be saved, you've got to be circumcised, obey the law, obey the dietary restrictions, obey the feast days and the Sabbaths. Christ is not enough if you want to be saved and please God." And in Galatians, Paul comes out fighting. If you want to read Paul mad, just read the epistle to the Galatians. From the first chapter to the sixth, he is angry. And the reason he is angry is because some people had come in to try to take freedom away from people to whom freedom had been given. And he says, in essence, if you give yourselves back over to slavery, Christ is of no value to you at all. In fact, he says in chapter 5, you would be alienated from Christ and you have fallen from grace. People, legalism is not a first century problem only. It is alive and well in 1998 in the United States of America. And this morning, we're going to look at Jesus' view of legalism. And I hope we're going to put a stake down in our lives and say we will not live by someone else's list. We will not give in to a yoke of slavery ever again. We are going to live by freedom in Jesus Christ. We are going to live by what Jesus directs us to do and not by someone else's list. We're going to identify legalism. I want you to see what legalism looks like so that you might identify it not only in someone trying to take away your liberty, but that you might identify it maybe if it's alive in your life. Number one, legalism emphasizes externals. It emphasizes externals. Throughout Matthew 23, Jesus is harping on these religious leaders who emphasize the external code of behavior they had adopted for themselves and were trying to enforce on everyone else. And through the passage in Matthew 23, you can read verse after verse after verse where Jesus is getting on them about emphasizing the external code they live by. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, tells about his long encounter with legalism in a Bible college that he attended as a young man. He said they had a 66-page rule book that was supposed to direct their life on campus. The list that this 66 pages covered included some of the following. There will be no co-ed swimming. There will be no wearing of shorts on campus. There will be no playing cards or going bowling or playing other games. There will be no pants worn by women on campus at any time. The only time pants were permissible was worn under the skirts in active kinds of situations like cheerleading. There was to be no reading of the Sunday newspaper. The skirts had to be below the knee, and the deans of the college spent a lot of their time having girls go in a room and get down on their knees to make sure that the dress touched the floor when they got on their knees. The men had to have their hair cut above the ear, and facial hair of any kind was forbidden. He said they even tried to regulate your personal life with God. Every morning, early in the morning, 7 days a week, a bell rang when all the students were to get out of bed in their dorms and get up and have their own personal devotions. Yancey said, in looking back, he said, you know, I don't resent the rules so much. They probably kept me from doing some things that I probably shouldn't have been doing. But he said, what I did resent was the fact that they tried to base every one of those rules in Scripture. They twisted, they contorted, they pulled out of context, they proof text, they did everything in the world to try to prove every one of those scriptures, I mean, every one of those rules in Scripture. He said, I really deeply resent what they did. He said, all the time I was reading about facial hair in the rule book that was given me on campus, and they're trying to justify that rule by biblical teaching, I knew that Jesus wouldn't be allowed on our campus. He said, I began to believe that living by an external code was what made God pleased with me. And more so, he said, that's what made God love me. And Yancey said, it has taken decades for me to come out of that kind of thinking. Listen, people, listen to this. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Following Jesus Christ is not about keeping rules. It is about developing relationship. It is about being born again of spirit. It is not about keeping somebody's list of rules or conforming to some external code of behavior. For Jesus said the law and the prophets are summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And if we can just get that straight, all the external stuff will take care of itself. Anytime a legalist comes along and starts presenting you a list of things that you must conform to, you mark them as a legalist and take a stand. I will not live by your list. I will not. Secondly, legalists emphasize extremism and trivialities. Extremism and trivialities. Jesus begins getting on them. He says, woe to you, verse 13. Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut out the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves don't enter, nor will you let anyone enter who's trying to do so. Woe to you. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you. You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. If he swears by the gold on the temple, then he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if he swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? He goes on to say down in verse 23, you teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, your mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These guys had begun to major in minors. That's what a legalist does. He majors in minors. And extremism becomes a part of his program, and so does the trivial. The law had said, you're to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Pharisees had come out and said, well, what Moses says, we can improve on. And they had come out with an entire list of things that had to do with the Sabbath that God never said. For example, they said if you rode a donkey on the Sabbath, you didn't break the Sabbath law. But if you carried a switch in your hand to spur on the donkey, you broke the Sabbath because you were carrying a burden. They said you couldn't drag a chair across your dirt floor in your house on the Sabbath day. You'd be guilty of plowing a furrow. They said that women were not to look in the mirror on the Sabbath day, lest they be tempted when they saw a gray hair to pluck it out and break the Sabbath law. They said that a tailor, one who sews, a tailor, could not leave a needle stuck in his robe on the Sabbath day, for when he got up and walked around, he carried a burden wherever he went and broke the Sabbath law. Hundreds and hundreds of things that God never said. They began to define how one cleansed his hands in order to be ceremonially clean before he ate. They defined not only how many times you had to wash your hands, but which direction you had to hold them, and how much water you had to use as you use them in order for that cleansing to be true. They tithed the tenth of all their kitchen spices. Can you imagine going home today and shaking out your kitchen spices and dividing it up in tenths and taking a tenth of that and going and offering it to somewhere? Trivialities and extremism. There was a group of Pharisees that was known as the blind. Excuse me, not the blind. I said that in early service. The bruised and bleeding ones. A sect of the Pharisees known as the bruised and bleeding ones. Why? Because the law had said you should not commit adultery. So they took some of that to the extreme and said you're not even to look at a woman in public. And so they took that to the extreme and said, well, if they saw a woman on the street somewhere, they would close their eyes and duck their head and walk until they got past it. Well, they'd walk right into walls and right into pillars, and they're always bruised and bleeding. And you laugh and you say, that is... of what legalism does. Now let's bring it down to 1998. In our brotherhood, I'm not talking about anybody else, let's just talk about our brotherhood, of the extremism and the trivialities that have divided us, that we have fought over and divided fellowship over. How many cups you use in the Lord's Supper, one or many? Whether you can have a Sunday school and teach children the Word of God. Whether you should support orphan homes. Whether you can eat in the building, or God forbid, have a kitchen in the building. We have fought, divided, devoured over some of the most trivial stuff because a legalist comes along with his list and says, you can't do this. And we conform our program to his list. This past week, a sister gave me a couple of articles. I mean, this week. I just got them this week, just fresh off the press. Written by some brothers in our fellowship that are condemning such horrible evils as promise keepers, choruses, solos, and quartets. I don't think they'd like it here. Of all things, this evil, singing during the Lord's Supper time, hand clapping after a baptism. This one was, the entire thing was about hand clapping. And here's the logic that a legalist used. He says, the fact of the matter is, hand clapping represents percussion music. Excuse me, but that's somebody's list. And that's a legalist trying to get everybody conformed to his position on things. And what that is somebody trying to rob us of our freedom in Christ Jesus. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. And people, when we start majoring in minors and fighting over trivial issues that God never even addressed in his word, I'd say that legalism has come out in us full force. He went on to say, these things are simply not authorized in the Bible. I wanted to call him and ask him a few questions. Like, do you have songbooks in the church where you preach? Those aren't authorized either. You have a PA system in the church where you preach. As far as I know, that's not authorized. In fact, do you have a church building where you preach? Because as far as I can tell, church buildings aren't authorized either. You see, that's just somebody's list. Because a legalist majors in minors. Now listen to me. Jesus majored in majors. He cared about the Sabbath law. But he cared more about the hurt and broken people he encountered on the Sabbath than he cared about breaking some Pharisee's law. God help us to care more about people than we do about somebody's list. I mean, can you just follow this for just a minute? The world is lost without a Savior. The world is going to spend an eternity in hell separated from God while we stand around and talk about whether we can sing during the Lord's Supper. God, forgive us for that. Jesus majored in majors, and people of grace do the very same thing. Sorry about the soapbox. I'm calming down. I'll be okay. Third point, legalists. Legalists focus in hypocrisy. Throughout this passage, Jesus uses the word over and over again, you hypocrites, you hypocrites. He starts off the passage in verse 3 by saying, you don't do what they do, for they don't practice what they preach. They bind up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. He says in verse 28, great passage in verse 28, he says, in the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Hypocrisy came out of the Greek theater. It means a mask wearer. It means playing a part. It means putting yourself up to be one thing when in fact you are something else. That's hypocrisy. A legalist finds it easy to be a hypocrite because as long as he is following that external code, he can cloak what's going on inside. He can check off his list and be rotten within. These guys who were so meticulous about law keeping were going to put to death the Son of God, which was the biggest hypocrisy that the world has ever known. When the fall of Jimmy Swaggart came years ago, Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, when he was at his peak in that time before the fall came, Jimmy Swaggart Ministries was bringing in $150 million a year. Now let me put that in a bite-sized. Folks, that is just about $500,000 a day. $500,000 a day. And when the fall came, he was in the midst of a 13-week preaching series on Christian morality. He had just preached halfway through that series the week he was caught with a prostitute in a hotel room. It's no wonder that the nation cried, hypocrite, espousing one thing and living something else. I'm sorry if I offend you this morning, but our president, who is known for hitting on more women than a Hollywood playboy, when Roy Rogers died last week, he said one of the things I appreciated most about Roy Rogers was his high standard of morality. I threw up all over the newspaper. People of grace live in honesty and openness with the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We're sinners. We struggle in our marriages just like everybody else. We struggle with the sins of anger and envy and lust, and we struggle with jealousy, and we struggle with greed, and we struggle with all of the things that the world struggles with. The only difference in us and the world is that God has redeemed us by grace. We're living by grace, and for us to espouse we are better than anyone else is hypocrisy. You see, now if you can live by an external code and check off your list, you don't need grace. But I've got to tell you, I am a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. I'm no better than anybody. Just by God's grace, I just happen to be saved by Jesus Christ, a gift, like you. Legalism also fosters self-pride. Pride. The Pharisees figured out that if they checked off their list and lived by this external code, they could gain attention and recognition in the eyes of their fellow men. And so on market days, they would make sure they were in the marketplace when the hour of prayer came so that they could stand on the street corner and hit their posture of prayer. And everyone would say, oh, man, look how committed they are. The Pharisees fasted 2 times a week when the law said you're to fast 1 time a year. They fasted 2 times a week, painted their faces, and would go into the marketplaces on market days because that's the days they fasted. And they would walk in so that everybody'd see their face and say, oh, man, aren't they committed? When they gave at the temple, they made sure there was a crowd there, and they'd throw their coins into those metal receptacles like the sounding of trumpets. So people would say, look how much money they give. And when it came to church, they scrambled for the front rows at church. They wanted the chief seats in the synagogues and at feast days. Why? Because they were trying to elevate their status in the eyes of human beings. And Paul says, if I am a man pleaser, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Anytime you are doing something to gain status in someone else's eyes besides God's, it's for the wrong motive. People of grace, do what God calls us to be for one reason and one reason only, in thanksgiving for the fact that He has saved us. We don't care who gets the credit as long as He gets the credit. And anytime we do anything to elevate our status in someone else's eyes, you watch out, because that's the heart of legalism. I could go on and on. Let me just stop right there and say this. Freedom in Christ is hard. It's hard. It's easier to live by a checklist. Okay? It is easier to refrain from murder than it is to reach out to an enemy in love. Okay? It is easier to refrain from a neighbor's bed than it is to keep a marriage alive. It is easier to live by a checklist than it is to develop that intimate relationship with God through Christ, that internal relationship that He calls us to have. But listen to this. We will never please God by keeping lists. We will never please God by keeping lists. The only way we're going to have the pleasing of God is to accept His gift of grace by faith. That's the only way. Whatever else happens, the only way to please God is just to receive the gift that He gives us by grace. Mark legalists and don't live by their lists. You live by this one law: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then do what you want to. All right? Because if you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to do exactly what He wants you to. So you live in perfect liberty, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. Keeping list will save nobody. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, forgive us for the times we've given up our freedom and failed to fight for the freedom that Christ has given us. Forgive us for the times we've succumbed to somebody else's agenda and tried to keep someone else's list. We pray that it is for freedom Christ has set us free, and that we will live in accordance with that freedom. Help us to be free to love and to serve, to care and to share. Help us be like Him is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You will never know freedom in this life like the freedom you'll know in Jesus Christ. He came for one reason, and that's so that you could be free. This morning He invites you to that freedom. Would you come to Him while we stand together and while we sing?
Come and behold Him. Come see His glory. Come with an honest heart to see all He is. We will discover all of His beauty. His light will burn the darkness we've known. Come and behold Him. Come and behold Him. Come with an honest heart to see all He is. Come and behold Him. Wait now before Him. Come with an see all He is. Come.
come find his tenderness reaching to you. Just as a mirror shows a reflection, his word and spirit come, now reflecting his love. Come and behold him, come and behold him, come with an honest heart to see all he is. Come and behold him, wait now before him, come with an honest heart to see all he is.
I'm so glad Ronnie said earlier that you cannot please God by keeping a list. I sure didn't keep the list earlier this morning when we were singing some songs, and I had it written down twice in front of me and still didn't keep that list. I want to apologize to you for that. I've thought about that some because it's distracting to you. I know it is. I can see it, a confusion on your faces, and you should have seen more confusion on mine. But you know what? Satan works in all kinds of ways, right in the middle of this service, just to try to keep us from praising God or to doing what we think we should do. And I'm glad we're not under the law, because you know, under the law, when the priests would go into the temple to do their service, they'd tie a rope around their ankles, and if something went wrong and they died while they're in there, they could haul them out. I might need to have a rope around my ankle this morning. Praise God for his mercy and for your grace and for the love that we have for one another. It is upon that thought that we will close and dismiss this morning.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.